had some running the aisles, didn't we, out there? But praise the Lord. That's good. It's good to know, isn't it? It's under the blood. He'll bring the devil will bring it back to your mind, but the Lord looks at you and says, "What sin?" And I praise the Lord for that. So we will be dismissed at this time in regards to, I chose my words wrong. The kids can be dismissed at this time. The adults are like, "Oh, free, pulling a jest. We're done with church now." So y'all go have fun. Be careful. And as we sang that song, it caused me to remember for that youth meeting, Brother Cody Shue. I don't know if you've heard him, brother. I think I was in a youth meeting with you listening to him. But Brother Cody Shue will be preaching on the 27th of August at Central Baptist. Great, great preacher. I think I can call him a great young preacher because he's younger than me. But he's a wonderful preacher, great evangelist, and I know that'll be a great help to our kids. And Brother Leonard Fletcher and Miss Linda Fletcher will be singing. They're going to be the ones doing the singing that night. That's what that song, he wrote, It's Under the Blood. And that song, I've seen videos of that being sung literally all around the world. And I praise God, no matter what country you're in, if you'll repent of your sin and place your faith in Jesus, it will be under the blood. And I praise the Lord for that. So if you've got a copy of God's Word with you tonight, we'll be in Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8. And you pray for me tonight. The Lord changed my direction for my message late in the day. So to be honest with you, I have not put the time I would like into this. And I'm trusting the Lord to enable me because He would not let me get away from this section of Scripture. And it's something that I believe I need. I believe we all need. And I believe if anyone lost is in the building or on the premises tonight, this is what they need. But Mark chapter number 8. And we're going to be reading verses 34 through 38, and there are parallel passages that we won't necessarily read, but we'll make reference tonight in Matthew 16, verses 24 through 27, and Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26. And we see here in Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse number 34, the Bible says, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever, therefore, shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Pastor Daniel, would you pray for us? Amen. So as we look at this scripture tonight, I know this is a very familiar passage, but one that we honestly need to be reminded of every single day as children of God. So what we're going to hop right into this tonight, that way I want to try to leave plenty of time for prayer requests at the end of the message tonight. But as we look at our passage of Scripture here tonight, the first thing we see here as we think about dying so that we can live, and once again, as we dealt with in Matthew, as we're walking through the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, another paradoxical statement. That's how there's so many of those in the Bible. Stuff that doesn't make sense to the world, but in the spiritual realm, they make perfect sense when you understand the Word of God. But if we want to be what God wants us to be, we have got to die. Yeah. We've got to. We cannot live this life for ourselves and for what we want, but we've got to die to ourselves. And that's what we see in our text before us tonight. The first thing we see that I want to point out, number one, is the desire. The desire. Verse 34 says, And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me. So he's basically saying, whosoever wants to be a follower of me. And that's my question to you tonight and myself. Do we want to be a follower of Christ? Now, some people, that is synonymous with salvation. But to other people, they just want fire insurance, and they don't want to have to follow and pursue and seek and stay near Jesus. But, and I praise the Lord, I think I'm a part of a church that the believers in this place, they want to follow Christ. They want to pursue Him. And I believe that, and I hope that is your desire. And if it is, we see number two, the demands. There are some demands, and I apologize, it's nice and small on the screens. Hopefully you can see that. It's even smaller on that one. I need binoculars to pull that up. But we see here the demands in regards to this. So it says in our text, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So we see here the demands if we are to be true followers of Christ. It says, deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So we see the two aspects here. And I believe this applies in specifically in this context. Jesus is referencing salvation specifically. And I believe this also applies to children of God after salvation. We're going to see in the book of Luke, it talks about dying basically to ourselves daily, taking up our cross daily. You can't get saved every day. So that has to apply, be focusing on the Christian life. But I want to see the two aspects where these demands apply. And the first one is for salvation. For salvation. Because look what it says. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And if you are saved tonight, the three things I'm about to mention, you did these. And the first one is there must be repentance of sin. Repentance of sin. The word in our text where the thought came from, the word deny. The word deny means to deny utterly, disown, to affirm that one has no acquaintance or connection with. That's what we must do. We see here in regards to salvation specifically with our sin. Now, if we're not careful and we hear the word repentance, and I struggled with this for a long time in my young Christian life, you hear the word repentance, and if you're not careful, that you'll think that means that you've got to clean up and then come to God. But that's not what that means. Like I always say, my definition of repentance, or when I talk about that, it is a requirement for and a result of salvation. There must be repentance of sin in the sense of you've got to change your mind about your sin. And every person that's saved in the room, and I believe that everyone in here is, and I praise the Lord for that. But you, that the moment you got saved, that at the moment the Lord began to deal with you, at that moment the Holy Spirit changed your mind about your sin. Because otherwise, if he didn't change your mind about your sin, you wouldn't know that there was anything wrong. See, that you want to see people who don't have their mind changed about their sin. Just go anywhere in the world today. Go witness to somebody today. Take them to the law in the Ten Commandments. Ask them if they're a good person. And a lot of times, most of the time, their answer is, yes, I'm a good person. That's someone who has not had their mind changed about their sin. Because every person in this room is saved by the grace of God. There was a time when the Lord helped you to see you are low down, dirty, rotten sinner. The best 5 seconds of your life is deserving of hell. You had your mind changed about your sin. And we need to pray every one of our lost friends and lost family members and people we come into contact with on the streets that God would do that for them. But that means when we witness to them that we've got to tell them the truth. See, that's the hard part of the witnessing. It's easy to say Jesus loves you. It's hard to say you're a sinner and you need a Savior. That's why I encourage you on Wednesdays. It's called Witness Wednesday on 91.5. I encourage you to listen to that. A guy named Todd Friel goes different places, a lot of times college campuses, and he just walks around and witnesses to people live on the radio. And he takes them down, he takes them through the law. And he said, do you think you're a good person? And most of the time, they say yes. And then he'll walk them through the law and help them understand, no, they're adulterers at heart. They're murderers. They're liars. They're thieves. And then, because spiritually their eyes haven't been opened yet, and he'll say, do you still think you're a good person? And they say yes, because their mind has not been changed about their sin. You see, I've heard my whole life, you've got to get lost before you can get saved. I believe that's what it is. When at that moment you realize what you are and what you deserve. I believe that's getting lost. Getting to the point where you have had your mind changed about your sin. You recognize you've sinned against a holy God. There must be repentance of sin, a changing of mind about your sin. And we'll talk about it later, but then that will result as a child of God in a changing of your life. And if it doesn't result in a changing of your life, then you may not have had your mind changed about your sin. Because if people think that you can get saved and then live however you want, there's never a change, there's a problem there. But that doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. But as we talked about in 1 John, what's the flow of your life? So the demand for salvation, first repentance of sin, and then all because it says deny himself, there must also be renouncing of self. We got to get to every person in here that's saved by the grace of God. And once again, I believe it's all of us. You realize you could not save yourself. Anybody that's ever truly got saved had to get to the point where they realize, I can't do it. Because that the world today, and sadly many facets of quote-unquote Christianity today, are still living in the Pharisaical era where you've got to do this and do that and do this and do that to get it and then to keep it. But if you're going to truly get born again by the grace of God, you've got to realize, I can't do it. We got to deny ourselves. You got to be willing, like it says in our text, to lose our life and give it to Christ. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. So there must be repentance of sin, renouncing of self, and then reliance upon the Savior. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Denying yourself and turning to Christ. Rely, you can't, but he can. See, you got to get, if you're saved, and I believe everybody is, you got to the point where you said, God, I can't, but you can. Maybe there's people and some people in the room where you thought for a while you could. You thought that you had a hand in it. But when you finally got right with God, he ripped all that away and said, you can't, but I can. Turn to me. Rely upon me. All you can do is head straight to hell. But if you'll just rely upon him, cry out to him. And you see, when we get, and everybody in here probably is just like I was. When I got to the point where I understood, when my mind was changed about my sin, I understood who I was, what I deserved. I'd heard the gospel my whole life. That's when it's easy to get somebody to Jesus. That's why so many people that witness, they don't see many people saved, because they don't get them lost first. Now, you can't get them lost, but you got to tell them the truth so God can. And then when God does, I love the easy ones. Like Pastor Daniel, I didn't get to be with him when little Bentley got saved. But he said, your exact words were to me, he was ready. It was time. Hey, when God turns that light bulb on, and everybody in here can attest to that, I remember that moment. My aunt said that she could almost see my heart beating out of the back of my back. It was beating so hard because I realized who I was and what I needed. And then immediately I said, Dad, I need to go get saved. See, we've got to help people get there by telling them the truth. Now, some will not like that. But true love tells the truth even when it's unpopular. So we see there must be repentance of sin, renouncing of self, reliance upon the Savior. And that is what we see here, the demand for salvation. But we're going to see some similar things. So that is how one is saved. But then we see not only for salvation, but for service. And I'm going to, spoiler alert, it's the exact same list of three. And there you go. The exact same thing. It's not a one-time thing. Now, your mind is changed about your sin one time, but then every single day we walk through the process over again. So we see here for service, not only for salvation, but for service. And what do you mean by that? So many people think when they come into the Christian life and they get saved, I'm going to find my spot, my specific spot in that pew, and nobody better take it, and I'm going to sit there until I go to heaven. But no, when you get saved, you're signing up into the Lord's army, and He's got a specific assignment for you. And one thing I was looking at, and I was tossing and turning over in regards to deal with this as well, but as I was going through the Old Testament in Numbers, it's being laid out in Numbers, specifically the Levites. It's talking about the ones with Aaron got to do all the stuff within the tabernacle. But then there was way more of the people that did the grunt work. And if they'd have gotten the flesh and they thought, well, hey, why don't I get to go in the tabernacle? Why don't I get to do the offerings? But I think what they realized, because they got the command straight from God, that every task in the body of Christ is just as important as the other. If it's what God wants you to do, you'd be taking a step down to do anything else. God wants us to serve. He wants you to find your spot in the body. That's why I told Brother Glenn when they were going to Georgia, and you've heard me say it, I believe there's a body of Christ somewhere that's missing a piece. And it's Brother Glenn and Miss Jane. And you, every person in this room and here today and a part of this church, you may not realize it, but there's a part of the body that you have a job to fulfill. It may not be a prominent one where everyone sees it, but without you doing your part, this work will not be as successful as it could be. You got to find your part. Whether it be to be the eyes, the nose, the ears, or the little pinky toe. It's all just as important. Now, I won't tell you my pinky toe story, but I didn't realize how important it was until it was broken and it wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. And then I realized, man, my pinky toe is special. I'm telling you, yes, sir. I had to pitch a baseball game, and every time I landed on my left foot, I'm landing on that broken toe, and I'm reminded, that's an important piece of my body. And don't think just because you're not behind the pulpit that what God's called you to do isn't as important as what I'm doing. If you find whatever it is that God wants you to do, and if you do that, you're in the perfect will of God. And there's nowhere else that you'll feel at peace and joy. Find what God wants, not what you want. God wants us to serve. And as we serve, what do we got to do? Same as I already talked about. Where there must be, look what it says, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. We've got to repent of sin. When sin comes up in our life and it's going to till we get to heaven, we need to confess it and forsake it. Now, our mind was changed about our sin and our salvation. So when we do sin, it should hurt. It should bother us. And at that point, instead of just tucking it away and say, I'll deal with it later, that's what David did, and he didn't hear from God for over a year, or Abraham, and he didn't hear from God for over 13 years. We need to deal with it right then. We need to say, Lord, I'm sorry I did that. I was living in my flesh. Lord, forgive me and cleanse me so we can restore the fellowship and our relationship. Praise God, we're in His hand forever. But that when that fellowship's broken, we can't be what God wants us to be. There must be repentance of sin. We got to stay clean. But then once we've repented of our sin and that fellowship is restored, we've got to renounce ourselves. Just we can do as much in our own power to serve Christ as we could do to save ourselves. We have as much power to save ourselves as we do to serve the Lord in our own power, which is none. Yeah, you can go through the motions, but God's not going to be within a million miles of it. And someone who's doing it in their own power will give up and will give in. But there must be a renouncing of self. Yes, the Lord has given us abilities and given us opportunities and given us skills. But apart from the Lord enabling and empowering us, we can't do it. We've got to say, Lord, I can't. Lord, you put me in this spot. You put me at this job. You put me in the midst of these people. You put me in this situation at the gas station. You put me working with this person. You put me doing this or doing that. And you put me here. And you have got to use me here. You got to get to the point and say, Lord, if it's up to me, I'm going to fail. But it's up. That's why it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, let us present our bodies a living sacrifice. Say, God, I offer myself up to you to be used by you. We got to renounce ourselves. We can't do it. And see, when we get to the we can't, we're exactly where God wants us to be because he always can. That's what happened in the Bible. It got to the point where whoever it was couldn't. And when did God show up? At that point. I dealt with the other night at some point in the past talking about where the Lord came to them. He saw them in the storm. And what does the Bible say? In the fourth watch of the night, when all hope was lost and they had done all they could, who showed up? Jesus. That's what he wants to do in our lives. If we would get there ourselves by just say, God, get me there, instead of him having to put us there, it took the disciples getting in a hurricane. But maybe if we woke up every day and said, God, I can't. You can. Use me. Got to deny ourselves. We got to deny ourselves. And we also got to deny our own will. We're not ours anymore. A high price was paid for you and me. The Bible says we're not our own. We've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. He paid for us so that he could use us. He had a plan for us. How dare we think, well, we know better than God, but yet so many times we think we do. But when we get to the point where we can't, and we realize we can't and he can, we will be more open to his will in our lives. So repentance of sin, renouncing of self, and once again, just like the other thing, reliance upon the Savior. Got to beg God to help us. Take up your cross and follow me. Rely upon Jesus. Take it up and say, Lord, I am willing. And what that is we got to be willing physically to die, if that's what it takes. But if us dying is the will of God, then that's where we want to be. We got to deny ourselves, take up our cross, rely upon the Savior, trust him to enable us, because he will not tell us to do anything that he will not enable us to do. He will do it, but too many times we get in the way thinking we can do it. We must rely upon him. And if we, but see, when we realize how capable we really are, which is not at all, we will beg God. See, when we realize we need help, we'll cry out to God. When Peter was sinking in the water, what did he do? He realized he couldn't help himself, and then it was easy. Lord, save me. We need to get there every day and say, Lord, I can't. I'm drowning. Save me. And immediately, see, the Lord just wants us to get to that point where we say, I can't, you can. Then he'll act. God won't force himself on us, but he is ready and waiting to empower us if we'll let him. So that's the demand. Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So we see the desire, we see the demand, and we see in Luke chapter 9, the parallel passage, we see the duration. It says, Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Once again, that doesn't mean get saved every day, because that's impossible. You get saved once, you're saved forever. But that means every day we've got to deny us, take up our cross, and say, Lord, I'm signing away my rights. I'm signing away my will. It's your will. I'll do whatever that means, even if it means I die for you. And the Bible talks about that as the highest honor. We see that in Revelation. But it's a daily thing, every day. First thing we need to do is say, Lord, cleanse me. I failed you. Wash me. Restore that fellowship with me. Lord, I can't. I can't do it. Whatever it is you want me to do today, I can't do it. You can. So I'm trusting you to enable me to do it. Put it on him, because he won't fail. Some people, you put the load on, they'll let you down. But you put the load on the Lord, which is what he wants. He says, take my yoke upon you. We're yoked up with him. So many times we're like a little kid kicking with our feet, not moving anywhere. When he's got the yoke, we just say, hey, you take the load. That's all he wants. He wants to carry the load if we'll let him. It's a daily thing. And we see the development. And I'll be done. as it continues on. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. That means if you want to live your life for yourself, you want to do it for you and get all you can for you and live it up for you. The Bible says here, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. That means when it's all said and done, you may have lived the best life the world has to offer, but you've lost your life spiritually for all eternity. You'll spend eternity in hell. It goes on, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. I think that's interesting there. So many people today standing in the name of Christ, that they're getting persecuted and they're suffering for the wrong reasons. They're not suffering. They may say they're suffering for the cause of Christ, but they're probably, a lot of times people are suffering because of some, well, I don't want to use that word, very unsmart thing that they said or the way that they said it, where they tried to make people mad. They standing on their soapbox and they're preaching legalism. Notice it says there, it says, he lose his life for my sake and the gospel's. Not for preaching legalism and people are mad at you. Or preaching in arrogance or in hatred and people are mad at you. No, that is not the way. That is not the way to be rewarded. But suffering for the sake of Christ and the gospel's. Doing it God's way. We see that that is where the true rewards are. The same shall save it. So we see the development here as it continues on is salvation, obviously. You had to do that to be saved. But also, approbation or approval. Look what it says here at the end. Verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father from the holy with the holy angels. So if we are ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of us. But what's the flip side of that? If we're not ashamed of him, he will not be ashamed of us. We will be approved of him. The God of the universe, if we're his child, if we've done what this says, we are approved by him. We have the approval of our high king in heaven. We may not have the approval of the world, but if we have done what the Bible says here and repented of our sin, renounced ourselves, relied upon the Savior, we're approved by God. Just like it talked about in 1 John, the highest title we could ever be given. If you're a child of God, you have been given, which is a son and daughter of God. You're approved in the eyes of God. And let's take a step back and remember, not because of what we've done, but because we are covered, just like that song said, in the blood of Jesus, in the blood of Christ. The development is salvation and approbation, approval in the eyes of God. And that's what we should seek. See, that's why so many people will not deny themselves and take up their cross and follow Christ, because they want the approval of the world. But if we want the approval of God, we've got to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow him. See, when we get to the point where the only approval we care about is God's, that'll change the way we live our life. But we're so scared, myself included. We desire the approval of man because that's what makes us feel good. My flesh, to be honest with you, wants to hear, man, you're a great preacher, Pastor Tyler. Man, oh man, what a message. But if you say that to me and yet God is not pleased, what good did I do? So tonight my prayer was, Lord, I just want to please you. Because honestly, the Lord laid this on my heart at like 4:30. That's when I got off work. But if I please him, that's all that matters. And that should be all we care about. If we please him, that's all that matters. So we've got to die so that we can live. Are we willing to do that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Lord, help me to deny myself and take up my cross daily and follow you. Help us all to do that by your grace. Give us the grace to do it. Lord, you don't tell us to do anything that you won't enable us to do. Please help us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.